two readings earlier from Deuteronomy. How many people knew there was a book in the Bible called Deuteronomy? Well, you do now. How many of you knew that there was a man called Amos? One or two more. Now, how many know that there was a man in the Bible called Matthew? A few more. You'll have to listen more carefully, otherwise you won't know about all these people in the Bible. What's going to happen if you go to heaven and you bump into Hezekiah and you say to him, I never knew the Bible said anything about you? What happens if you bump into Habakkuk? And Habakkuk says, well, did you read what I wrote? And you say, I didn't even know that you've got a book in the Bible. And suppose you bump into Maharshalal Hashbaz. And you won't be able to say to him, ah, you're the man with the longest name in the Bible. So you have to listen. Otherwise you're going to be ever so embarrassed when you meet these people if you go to heaven. Now this morning we're remembering the harvest that God has given us. Who can tell me what a harvest is? What is a harvest? Always the same people answer the questions, yes. No. Now that's a harvest Thanksgiving, which is what we're doing now. Now a harvest is when the farmer, not always a farmer, but usually a farmer, goes out into his fields and he gathers in his crops. Now for most of us it's obvious when you look out and you see all the corn, all the wheat in the fields, and we think, oh yes, harvest is when they go around with a combine harvester. That's why it's called a combine harvester. It goes around and it harvests all the crop. But you don't use a combine harvester for...
Who can tell me what these are?
Richard. Beetroot. And what do you do with beetroot? Do you eat the leaves? No? Don't you eat the leaves? They look very nice. They look even better than lettuce. If rabbits eat lettuce, why can't we eat the leaves? Rabbits eat these. Why can't we eat the leaves? Look at these. They're all dirty. They're covered with dirt. We don't eat those, do we? Do we? Oh. What do you do with them? Wash them? Well, that would get the dirt off, wouldn't it? And then what? Then you eat them. Oh, you boil them first. Ah. Have to remember that.
You wouldn't use a combine harvester for that, would you? But when the farmer goes out into his field and he pulls up all the beetroot, some farmers actually go around by hand still, pulling them up out of the ground, one by one.
Who'd like to do that? Go around, one by one. Now, if you did that, if you went around pulling them up one by one, you couldn't give up after you'd pulled out 10, because you've got a whole enormous field full of beetroot. You'd have to do the whole field. I wonder if Sybil can tell us about how many beetroot there might be in a field. Haven't a clue. Yes. You'd have to work it out. If a field is so big, let's say, 100 metres by 100 metres, and the rows are, make it easy, they're a metre apart. So if the rows are a metre apart and the fields are 100 metres wide, how many rows would you have? Yes. 10. Close, but wrong. You would have... No. You would have, yes. No. Very, very close. It would be 101. Because your start, the first row, is at the edge of the field, so that's zero. So it's 0 to 100. So you've got the 100 plus the first one, so it's 101. It's a trick question.
It's like, what is the last year of the 20th century? Another trick question for you. The last year of the 20th century, what is it? Isaac thinks he knows. Yes? The year 2000. Not 1999. The last year of the 20th century is the year 2000. Because we don't start. We start at one with years, not with naught. So therefore, it's when you get to 2000, that's the 20th century. 2001 is the first year of the 21st century. But, getting back to the field. If you were to go around pulling up the beetroots by hand, after you'd gone 10 yards, you'd probably start saying, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Can I go and play, please? And the farmer would say, but you said you were going to do the whole field for me. You've got to carry on. And after probably another 5 hours, your hands and your arms would ache, and your back would ache, and your knees would ache, and you'd say, I want to go to bed, I'm tired. Because you'd be absolutely exhausted. And that's how people used to do the harvesting. All by hand. They didn't have machines to do it. They'd have combine harvesters when they went and cut the grain. They'd have a big sickle, great big sharp knife, is what it is really, with a handle on. They'd go in and they'd take an armful of the wheat and then they'd cut it at the bottom. Now, we haven't got any this year. And then they'd put it all together and they'd tie it up in bundles. And then they'd come along and then they'd put it onto wagons and take it away. Much easier today, and we don't need so many people to do it, and that's why most of us haven't a clue what goes on a farm. And when we think of farms, we think of all the nice little lambs and all the nice little calves, and we all go, ooh, ah. And then we start complaining about the way they're treated. But they've been treated like that for thousands of years. We're all very silly. And we like to see them running around in the fields, or we like to see them nicely cooked on a plate, but we don't like the bit in between. We're very silly, really. Because if the farmers weren't there doing what they do, we wouldn't have any food. And you say, ah, yes, but the European community, as it was, or the European Union now, they have lots and lots of food, so we could get it all from them. Yes, but where do they get it from? They get it from the farmers. The farmers produce what the European community thinks is too much food, so therefore they have to store it all up and produce mountains. Now, the mountains have been shrinking in recent years. We'll talk about that afterwards. But all these things, you have a harvest. God talks in the Bible about seed time, when you plant the seeds, and harvest, when you gather in all the food. But we need to remember that in producing the food, while we need to do some work in order to get the food grows because of God. And because we need food to eat in order to survive and to live, we are dependent totally, completely, and utterly upon God. Unless, of course, you can get away without eating food. Anybody here doesn't eat any food? Anybody? No? So you're all looking forward to your dinners today. Right, mums and dads know those that aren't interested in their dinners today, so you can save all that trouble cooking it and all the washing up. That would be nice for a change. We're totally dependent upon God. That's what God tried to teach the people of Israel. Now, God had a special relationship with the people of Israel. They were his people. And he said to them in this first passage that was read to us in Deuteronomy that if they kept all of God's commandments, which he gave to them, then he would pour out his blessings upon them and they would receive all the food they would need. So he would give rain to the land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, because Israel is a hot country. It's not like here when you can have rain every day of the year. But they only have rain in certain times of the year, early and late. So God promised, if you behave, if you do what I told you, then I will send the rain, so that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, and provide grass for the cattle, so you'll have cows to milk and to eat. But he says, be careful and take care that you don't turn after other gods and worship and serve them, because otherwise, God says, I will be angry with you and I will punish you by not sending the rain. And then you will have no food and then you will die. So as long as the people tried to please God, everything would be okay. Now, did this mean when God told them this that they tried particularly hard to please God? Well, let's make it easier for you to think about it. When your parents say to you, if you're good, I'll take you to Alton Towers. If you're good, I will buy you an especially nice present for your birthday. If you're good, I will take you to McDonald's. Do you then try to be extra specially good? Yes? I'm looking at the parents. The parents are smiling because the children say yes. But do you succeed in being extra specially good? No, they're honest, aren't they? You don't. That's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. God said, do this and I'll bless you and you'll have a harvest. But if you disobey, I'll withhold the rain and you won't have a harvest. So what do you think happened to the people of Israel? They kept having things called famines. Oh, no harvest. They had famines because they kept disobeying God. There are famines in Africa. There's a famine in Rwanda at the moment. Not because there's no food. It's because there's no people to go and harvest the crops because of the war that's been going on there. There have been lots of famines in Africa recently. There's been no food. And the people have starved and died. You have these dreadful pictures of people walking around, and they seem to be no more than a collection of bones with a thin layer of skin on them. And if you were doing biology, you might say, well, this is very useful. How many ribs does a person have? You could go and count them. You can see them. You used to be able to see my ribs, but that was a long time ago. These people had famines because there was no rain to grow the crops. With Israel, their famines came because they disobeyed God. They followed other gods. And they would take a piece of wood and they would carve it into a funny shape. And then they'd bow down to it and say, this is my God. And this lump of wood is what is giving me my crops. Is that true? No, that's silly, isn't it? Fancy taking a piece of wood and bowing down to it and saying, this is my God. Can this piece of wood do anything? No. If you said, right, well, let's take my God now, this piece of wood, let's take it somewhere else. How would that piece of wood get even from this end of the building to the other end of the building? Because if it's a God, and if it's all powerful, and if it can bring the rain and the harvest, surely it can move itself from there to there. But could it? No, of course it couldn't. Because it's a piece of wood. And these people were stupid enough to think that a piece of wood could bring all this blessing. Like people today think it all happens by chance. You might as well say, no need for the farmers to have seed and go and plant it in the field, because it all happens by chance. So the farmer just sits there and just waits for it to grow. If that's what the farmers did, the farmers would very quickly be even more bankrupt than they are at the moment. And we wouldn't have any food, even out of tins. So what did God do to them? Well, God did what he told them. He brought calamity. He brought catastrophe. and disasters upon them. And that's what we read about in the second passage that was read in Amos chapter 4. God says to them, I told you what I was going to do if you disobeyed, and so I did it. You didn't listen to me, and so therefore what you have is disaster. I withheld the rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to the harvest, I would send rain on one city and not on another, on one field but not on another. So the field that didn't have the rain, all the crops withered away. You didn't have enough water. I sent blight and mildew into the crops, so the crops were rotten when you went to gather them. I laid waste your gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees, your olive trees. The locust destroyed. Now, thankfully, we don't have locusts in this country, but if you grow cabbages and lettuces in your garden, you'll know all about something else. What else would come? Caterpillars. Caterpillars come along and they nibble up, and you get these holes appear. Cabbages don't grow like that with holes in them. It's because the caterpillars come along and they go, oh, here's a nice juicy cabbage. Chomp, 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 chomp. And so the caterpillars eat half your cabbages if you don't keep them away. That's what happened to the people of Israel. Because they disobeyed God, God sent all these disasters to them. Sent them pestilences. He overthrew them because they wouldn't obey God. They'd forgotten about God. They had forgotten that everything they had depended upon God's blessing. Do we forget that with our parents? Do we forget that our parents provide for us? What would happen if our parents one day said, well, that's it, that's enough, you can make your own dinner, you can make your own bed, you can do your own washing? I think very soon you'd be wearing very scruffy clothes. I think you would probably be very dirty because you say, great, I don't have to have a bath. You'd probably have cut yourself a few times opening tins, and then all the tins in the cupboard would have gone, and then you'll think, well, how am I going to get some more food? Well, Mummy and Daddy, they go off down the supermarket. So you go down the supermarket, you fill up the trolley with all the things you want, you get to the checkout, and they say, right, you need to give me £30 now, please. And you say, but I haven't got anything. Sorry, you can't have this unless you give me £30. Oh, well, I've got this British Telecom phone card. That's what Mum and Dad do. They just give you a piece of plastic and then they sign their names. So here's my piece of plastic. It's a British Telecom phone card. Isn't that good enough? I say, no. And they'll say, you've got to go and put it all back on the shelves again. That's what would happen. You starve. You get sick. No one to look after you. That's what happened. The people of Israel, because they wouldn't do what they were told, because they wouldn't listen, God had to punish them. Now, things have changed. With the coming of Jesus Christ, the special people of God is no longer a nation on earth. The special people of God are the people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not a single nation. They are scattered throughout the world. So what you find now is that God blesses people with rain and sunshine, whether they're good or bad, because God cannot say, well, I will send my rain upon one garden and not on another. Some people think he can, but God doesn't do that. Because Jesus said that God loves his enemies. He says he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God shows love for all of us, whether we're good or bad. Because in the Old Testament, should the people have learned? That if God said, do this and live, they wouldn't do it. And if God punished them, they'd still carry on doing the wrong things. And we draw wrong conclusions. We think to ourselves, it's pouring with rain. What have I done wrong? And yet it's a blessing from God. Go to another part of the world, it's not raining. What have I done wrong? But then you swap them round and we look at the sky and say, oh, it's sunny. We don't say, what have I done right? We don't even think about that. We don't even think of God's blessing upon us. And the people in Africa, when they have rain, how many of them say, "It's raining. What have I done right? Isn't God good?" They forget God. Just like we forget our parents. Hopefully one day when you all grow up, and if you have children, you will think, "If only I had understood about all these things when I was younger." You don't yet. But what you must remember is that all the things that you have on your table today are there because your mum and dad have provided them for you. And it should point us to God and remind us that God has provided everything for us. Paul preached to some very clever people in Athens, in Greece, many years ago. While they were very clever, they were very stupid, because they bowed down to gods of stone. And he said to them, in Acts chapter 17, God is not served by human hands. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us at all, because there's nothing we can do for God, as though he needed anything. The reason being, he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. So the very reason we're alive now is because of God. The very reason we have a harvest is because of God. The very reason that we've got some food to eat today is because of God. God has provided for all these things. We need to remember that and be thankful to God. But even more, we need to remember that God has provided for our sin, for all the things we've done wrong. He's provided for us the Lord Jesus Christ. And his command to us is that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he'll forgive us for all our sins. He'll wash them away. And then we will know God. We will love God and want to serve God. And instead of finding it very easy to do what is wrong, we will find it much easier to do what is right and pleasing to God and pleasing to our parents as well. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your parents will be amazed at how good you suddenly become. So remember that, give thanks to God, and do what is right.